College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next guest on his most recent podcast, which he does as part of his duties on Cleveland.com as a Cavs and NBA reporter, talked about the Cavs might be more inclined to listening to offers for Jared Allen and Darius Garland this offseason, and he is Chris Fedor. He joins us now in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Did I quote you accurately and warmly on the Jared Allen and Darius Garland comment there?
Probably better than the aggregation posts have at this point in time.
I was trying to help that. Like, I saw an aggregated post, and I was like, I'm going to give Fedor credit, but also make sure that this blows up in his face.
I actually had a conversation with one of the players in the Cavs locker room last year, and I said, look, I totally understand if you don't follow me on Twitter, and that's cool. And if you don't follow my Instagram, that's fine too. And if you don't follow Cleveland.com, that's fine too. If you don't want to pay the subscription to read my story, I get it. Like, I get it. Your friends are going to send you all of these clips from House of Highlights, Bleacher Report, because they follow all of those accounts and they blow up a lot of the stuff that we write or the stuff that we say. And I said, I'm just going to ask you one thing. Judge me based on my own tweets or based on my own writings. Everything that is below my name, below my byline, not even the headline, but everything that's below my byline, judge me on that and form your opinion based on that. And he said, you know what, Chris? I promise I will do that. I will not overreact to some of this other stuff that I see out there on social media. And it definitely improved the relationship between that player and myself.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I was in and just I'm trying to find ways to present different stories and stuff. And like the one I know was you talking on the latest Wine and Gold Talk podcast where you had a take on how Garland's skill set addresses Minnesota's most glaring weakness. And I'm like, all right, I know that came from Cleveland.com. I'm good there. But then in getting ready for this, I'm like, wait, I see like a Jalen Suggs trade. And I'm like, I don't know that Chris said that at all.
So I think the thing that we have to say here when it comes to anything related to the Cavs is that, guys, they're in a good situation. Like, for all of the things that we can be upset about with them flaming out in the playoffs in the second round, and we can have these conversations about how far away are they from a championship, especially with Oklahoma City looming and looking like the next dynasty, like the Warriors of 10 years ago, basically. Just based on their roster, based on the upside, based on their salary cap situation, their treasure trove of draft picks that puts them in any big-time trade conversation if they have enough motivation. So obviously there are like things that we look at with this Cavs team and say, all right, if we're talking about them being championship contenders, how close are they to New York? How close are they to Indy? How close are they to Minnesota? How close are they to Oklahoma City? But you can't lose sight of the fact that this is a good situation. And you could make an argument that for the next 3 to 5 years, the outlook for the Cavs is better than any other team in the Eastern Conference. There is an argument to be made on that. They have 3 All-Stars, 2 players that made All-NBA. Evan Mobley's Defensive Player of the Year, and there's so much more untapped potential if they get him more involved on the offensive end. Kenny Atkinson won every single Coach of the Year award that there was, and there were a bunch of different ones. Both the media respected him and his peers respected him that kind of way. So it is a good situation that they're in, and I don't think they have to overreact to anything. But something that President of Basketball Kobe Altman said, he said over and over and over again, we've got to figure out the 16-game thing. And I do think that the Cavs have mastered the regular season, and I do think they have shown that they've got 82-game players. But do they have enough 16-game players the way that Indiana does, the way that New York does, the way that we have seen with Minnesota, OKC, Denver, some of these other teams? They have not proven it on the playoff stage, the way that some of these other players and some of these other teams have. And if you're starting to have conversations about trying to add more 16 players to this roster, it becomes a little bit complicated based on their salary cap situation, based on their limited assets. And sometimes that requires making some painful decisions. And sometimes that requires opening yourself up to listening and being more open to an idea of moving off of some guys that you may really, really like.
Chris, Shyam said it could be a crazy offseason, like historically crazy offseason. Mm-hmm. Given the backdrop of what you just said, ultimately, do you think that ends up helping the Cavs make those hard, tough decisions? Maybe it could be a good thing, the insanity around them?
Yeah, I think so. I also think that when the landscape changes, you have to be ready to also make some changes. And you also have to be ready to make hard, difficult choices, and you have to do a harsher evaluation than maybe you were willing to in the past. And I think that's the situation, guys, that the Cavs are now in. This is back-to-back seasons where, yes, they got to the Eastern Conference semifinals, but they weren't competitive in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And you can talk about all of the various reasons for that. But this isn't the kind of loss where you say, we're going to attach a bunch of these qualifiers to it, or we're going to attach a bunch of these excuses to it. It was a 64-win team that just was overmatched against the Indiana Pacers, that was out-toughed, out-physicaled, mentally, physically. They just weren't tough enough. There were some stylistic problems that they ran into against Indiana. So I do think when you have some success like they have had, you can hold on to that. But if the landscape is going to change around you and the status quo is going to look different than what you expected, you have to be willing to also pivot. You have to be willing to make the kind of changes that are going to be necessary. And I brought this up the other day on the podcast. You know, Harrison Barnes was a core player for the Golden State Warriors. He was a guy that they tanked for. He was a starter on a 73-win team. He was a core player until he wasn't. Right, Marcus Smart was the heart and soul of the Boston Celtics until they had an opportunity to get Kristaps Porzingis. And you can keep going through the NBA, and it's like, yeah, the Cavs believe in their core four. Yes, the Cavs could make an argument that bringing back all four of those guys continues to give them the best chance to compete for a championship, right? But, like, pieces around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have changed. Those two guys have been the stable ones. Those two guys are the untouchable ones. And when you have a team like the Cavs, yeah, they've got a core four, but there are levels to this. And some guys are going to be more important to the future of this organization than others. Some guys are going to be more important to the short term of this organization than others. And just because they've had a belief in them in the past, and just because they labeled them a certain kind of way in the past, it doesn't mean that they're always going to carry that status. Luka Doncic was untouchable. He was a franchise pillar until he wasn't. So I just think you have to be willing to make difficult decisions if you feel like that's going to be in the best interest of your chances.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of winning a championship.
All right, within that context then, Chris, do you feel like Kobe Altman and company would be the aggressive party attached to this, like going out and making all the phone calls? Or do you feel like they would be the one that just kind of sits back and, hey, if someone presents us with something and it makes us better, then that's where we start to strike?
I think it's the latter. I do. I don't think they're looking at their situation saying, we've got to be desperate to make these changes, right? Or what we have here doesn't work well enough. Because again, it is a good situation. It is arguably the best in the Eastern Conference over the next 3 to 5 years. So I think it's just, are we going to be presented with the kind of deal that is going to make us a better basketball team, that is going to increase our chances of winning a championship? Is there a deal out there that could capture our attention that we'd actually be willing to say yes to? And look, maybe there isn't. Maybe there isn't a deal out there for Darius Garland or Jared Allen or Isaac Okoro or Dean Wade or Max Strus or whoever else you want to throw out there aside from Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley. Maybe there's not a deal out there that they're willing to say yes to. Maybe there's not a deal out there that they think is going to position themselves better to win a championship and have playoff level success. But I think the thing that they understand based on everything that transpired this year is that they don't have enough playoff level performers on this roster, and they have to find a way to get more of those guys. And maybe they look at it and say, well, you know, being through the experience is going to benefit Darius Garland. Being through the experience is going to benefit Kenny Atkinson and Evan Mobley. And some of these other guys are going to be more hardened by that. And they're going to be tougher. And there's an evolution that Evan Mobley can make within his game. And Darius Garland can get better as a basketball player in year two of Kenny Atkinson. Maybe that's the way that they look at it. But I think that the comments from Kobe Altman at the end of the season about the difference between mastering the 82-game season and the 16-game season and everything that we've seen at this stage of the playoffs with some of these other teams and how they're having success and the type of player that they have on their roster. I think the Cavs are honestly asking themselves, do we have enough guys that can be playoff performers, high-level playoff performers?
Chris Fedor in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline here with us. Chris, what teams potentially fit for Darius Garland?
I think there are four that stand out to me. Three are more realistic than the others, but I think you have to include one of them just because the need that they have, and they're going to be a point guard team. Sacramento, Minnesota, Orlando, and New Orleans. Those are the four that stand out to me. I guess there's sort of ish a Boston argument, but I think that gets really, really complex and really convoluted when you're talking about two potential second apron teams. But those other four, Sacramento, I don't see a fit from a Cavs standpoint. I don't think there's enough on that Sacramento roster that would appease the Cavs to get them to say yes. Orlando's, it's no secret. They need more scoring. They need more offense. They need more playmaking, more shot creation. They're probably going to be a Ty Jerome pursuer, although they don't have a lot of money to be that kind of team. They just need somebody to make life easier for Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, and the entire Orlando Magic offense. And if it's not Darius Garland, they're probably going to take a run at Trae Young. I would not be surprised by that at all. They just need that kind of playmaker to help them take the next step, because they're just not good enough. They're just not consistent enough on the offensive end of the floor. And I think there are some salaries there in Orlando that match up well. I do think there is a general framework, not to say that the Cavs and the Magic have discussed this and they've put this in place, but I think if we're talking about this in general terms, I think there's a general framework of Darius Garland for Jalen Suggs that is somewhat appealing. I think there's a general framework in Minnesota of Jaden McDaniels, Dante DiVincenzo, Terrence Shannon Jr. I think there's a general framework in New Orleans of Trey Murphy III and Jose Alvarado and maybe some spare parts. Or if it's not Trey Murphy III, maybe it's Herbert Jones. But those are the three teams that I think match up the best from a salary perspective and a motivation perspective on both sides.
Chris, what is it that you've learned throughout the playoffs that you didn't know coming in? I don't mean Cavs related. I mean, you can adopt the Pacers and attach this to that, or even the Knicks, anything really. Cause it feels like we always enter the playoffs and we know exactly how it's going to go down. And now this year, more than ever, it just hasn't gone down that way.
I think we go in cycles when it comes to the NBA, guys. And I think there was one point where it was the Big Three era. And just the way that everything was set up, you had to have multiple stars 2 would be great. 3 would probably really increase your chances. And we saw that. But I think we've shifted based on the salary cap limitations, based on all the penalties. I think it's more about depth. It just feels more like a year where it's about how playable are 7 through 10, or how playable and effective can 6 through 9 be in your rotation. And that stands out about Indiana. Like, they can play a bunch of different styles. They can use a bunch of different lineups. And the guys that they go to, maybe one game it is going to be Benedict Mathurin, or another game it's going to be Tony Bradley, or another game it's going to be TJ McConnell. Do you have enough guys behind your main ones that can provide something? And it doesn't have to be an every game thing, like I said. And it's not an every game thing with the Indiana guys, and it's not an every game thing with the OKC guys. But they went to the bench, and Kenrich Williams had a great impact. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I just think, like, how many of your guys do you have on your roster that you can believe in, that you think are going to be playable in a playoff environment? I think the Cavs come short in that department. I think they showed that in the series against Indy. But I think that's the world that we're now living in today's NBA, because it's hard to keep these core groups together. It's hard to have a bunch of high salary players on your roster, just because of all of the stipulations, all of the limitations, and all of the penalties when it comes to team building stuff.
Chris, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you, and I'm sure it's going to be a fun offseason. We'll connect quite a bit.
Thanks, Chris.
Sounds great, guys. Anytime.
Chris Fedor on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline gave us plenty to think about there. We'll react to Darius Garland suitors and whether the Cavs should lean into the most recent NBA trend. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.